Hallelujah. How many of y'all know God's on the move?
Amen.
And you know what he's trying to do is move you. He's trying to move us into another place. Amen?
Amen.
Praise be to God. Trying to move us into another place. Glory to God. Glory to God. Changes. Changes are good, aren't they? You know, if you're not willing to change, you're not willing to grow. Amen? If you're not willing to change, you're not willing to grow. And exposure allows growth, doesn't it?
Amen.
Believe me, God's going to expose you so he can grow you. So everybody say, God's going to expose me,
so
he can grow me.
So he can grow me.
Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews 8. Praise God. Hebrews 8. Now, we've been talking about the new generation. The new generation, what we talked about, you know, about the second book of Acts, chapter 1, chapter 2, we're talking about chapter 3 tonight.
Amen.
And this new generation that's coming about, which you are,
Amen.
By the Spirit of the living God. God is writing a whole new set of books, of the books of Acts. Does everybody understand that? See, you and I are in the next book. You know, you and I are already written in the Bible. Do you know that? We're already written in the book of life.
Yeah.
And far be it that we would think that the Bible would be just a beginning and an end of a chapter. Do you know what I'm saying? When it's eternal. Because the Word is eternal, isn't it?
Amen.
Let me tell you, you cannot contain everything in the book of what God is and who He is and what He's done. Amen? Well, you and I are now a part. Oh, we can just get this in our spirit. The whole purpose of everything was that you and I would be a part of His Word. Do you understand that? And one of the things that this new generation is coming up to, and we've talked about that in the first chapter, we talked about the discerning of evil spirits and stuff that about the other realm. The second one, we talked about divine perfection. And tonight I want to talk about, because without these things and where this new generation is coming to, that you and I truly must come into an arena where we have a revelation of covenant. There must be a true revelation in your life about what is covenant with Him. It's important. And this new generation is going to walk in the knowing of the covenant that they have with God Almighty. Does everybody understand that? Go to Hebrews 8. Is it hot in here? Hebrews 8. Glory to God. Just got hot in here. I couldn't help it. Whew-wee. Hebrews 8 and verse 7. Would you read it with me? For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming. Are we in those days that are supposed to be coming? Amen. For the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, we know that that's in the natural sense. You know what I'm saying? This is with Israel. A new covenant is coming for them. Amen. But we're the church. We already have that new covenant through the blood. Does everybody understand that? But there's this covenant that's going to be fulfilled with Israel. Remember, first of all, everything went back to the Gentiles. Then it's going back to the Jews. So you and I have been granted this covenant. And the new generation is going to walk in this covenant. It's going to bring zealous and jealousy to the Jew to be want to come underneath this covenant with us. Do you know that they did a, oh, praise God. The Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant in Israel. Okay. They made a replica to practice bringing the covenant in for the temple that they're getting ready to build. And you know what that means? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I'm telling you, they've already got the heifer. There's got to be a red heifer that's perfect, and they have one already. Now they just did a replica of the covenant, and they know where it is. The Ark of the Covenant. that they will carry in to the temple of God. All of this is getting prepared. Ooh. Now, behold, the days are coming. Are we in those days? You betcha. Says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them out by the hand to lead them from the land of Egypt. And we know the word Egypt means worldly. Amen? Worldly bondage. And everybody of us was in worldly bondage. Because they did not continue in my covenant. Ooh. So he's going to make a new covenant. Why? Because they didn't continue with the other one. But of course, they didn't make it to their promised land either, did they? And I desired or disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my what? My laws. My laws. That's my word. In their mind. And write them on their hearts. And the word mind here means spirit. The word mind means spirit because in the Hebrew language there is no word mind. It's spirit. And I will write my words in their spirits and write them on their hearts. Now your heart is the character of your spirit, isn't it? Amen. Amen. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor. And none his brother saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now how is that done? By the blood. And that, he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete, growing old, is ready to vanish away. Now this is very possible. People don't really understand who wrote the book of Hebrews, but I personally believe it was Paul. Because it sure reflects a lot of his writing, but that's just my own opinion. I believe it was Paul. And in this, as he was writing, I mean, or whoever was writing the writer of this, this is not about something old. This wasn't written old. This book is not old. Do you understand? This was written after the new covenant. Does anybody understand that? So in that, he's talking about the old covenant truly becoming obsolete, where this new covenant for this new generation, it's going to be to where you will be the Word. You will know your covenant. And let me tell you, it's not that it's coming to it. We're in it. He's just bringing this up. Let me tell you, this exposure is for growth. All of these things that are happening in your life right now is so that the Word can be manifested in all of our being. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. It says that we won't need to teach them to know the Word. We won't need to teach people about the Lord. Well, the Bible says that in the latter days He'll pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Amen? God is drawing mankind right onto Him. All mankind He's drawing. Doors are opening up every nation in the world to preach the gospel. And the Bible says that when the gospel is preached to every nation, He's coming. We are very, very close. Very close. Would you tune to Ezekiel 36? We must come to the revelation of this new covenant that we are not only a part of, but in. Ezekiel 36. Oh, to God be the glory. Is everybody there? In verse 24, 36:24. It's a confirmation, a word upon word. I mean, precept upon precept, line upon line. Amen? And it says, for I will take you from among the nations. Hello. And now this nation is also a representation of ethnic group. I'll take you among every ethnic group. whether wherever you came from. See, in the cultures that we come from, many of us have come from different cultures, but we're no longer from those cultures. I don't care if you're Jewish. I don't care if you're Italian. I don't care if you're Indian. I don't care what you're. It has nothing to do. I don't care if you're African American. I don't care what you are. In this whole ethnic arena of nations, he says, I'm taking you from them so that we are no longer under them, but we are under a brand new covenant. Do you understand? A brand new inheritance where it doesn't have anything to do with color or culture or any. It has nothing to do with it. We are under a brand new covenant where it has nothing to do with anything that where we've come from carnally or naturally. Does everybody understand that? And he says, and I will take you from the nations, right? Gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Is that happening? Amen. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone, which is rebellion, out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit with you in what? Cause you. I'm going to cause you. You know why? Because you said, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. I give you my life. He says, good. Now I'm going to cause you. See, he couldn't cause you to get salvation, but he can cause you to walk in his word now because you've surrendered to him. That's why we go through so much stuff. Amen? Because he's causing us. He's causing us to know the truth. And when you run from the truth, you live in torment. He's causing us to do his will. And when you don't do his will, you work in torment. Does everybody understand that? He's causing us to what? Walk in whose statutes? His. And you will keep my judgments. And you will what? Do them. Ooh. That's a whole new other arena, isn't it? This is the new covenant. This is the new covenant. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Oh, glory. 1 John chapter 2. In verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. In other words, Antichrist means the ruler of this world, right? Okay, well, that's the kingdom of darkness. Antichrist, Christ meaning the anointed one, and his anointing. So he's coming against the anointing. You know, he's not coming against the word. He's coming against the anointing. You understand that? He's coming against the presence of God. Now, why did he come against Jesus? He tried to kill him. Why? Because he was the presence of God. Of course, the Word became flesh, didn't he? But he was still coming against God's presence because God's presence exposes him. That's why it's anti-Christ. Amen? And we know it's the last hour. And even now, many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Listen, look what they're trying to do right now. Look what's going on in this country. There's a fight, isn't there? I mean, they're trying to take God out of everything. I mean, look what they're coming against. You can't even say Merry Christmas in certain places. Far be it. Those people ought to be shot and sent home. Hallelujah. First, they got to repent so they can make it home. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have what? Continued with us. But they went out that they might what? Be made manifest that none of them were of us. Ooh. Why? Because of God's presence, his anointing. Amen? But you have a what? An anointing from the Holy One, and you know what? Oh, hallelujah. And you know all things pertaining to the things of the Spirit, pertaining to the things of the kingdom of God. You know them. They're already in you. They're already in you. You need no man to teach you. They're already in you. Does everybody understand it? What God uses in the offices of the body of Christ is to bring the things out that are already in you. Amen. Does everybody understand that? And I have written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you what? Know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the anointed one? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise or the covenant that He has promised us, eternal life. These things I've written to you concerning those who tried to deceive you, move you out of position. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and it is true, and is not a lie, and just that it has taught you, you will abide in Him. So now He talks about the anointing as a person. Do you understand that? Yeah. He says, and you will abide in Him. Now He talks the anointing as a person. Because the anointing of God is the Holy Spirit. And you cannot know God without the Holy Spirit. You cannot know God. I don't care how much you memorize the Bible. You cannot know God without the Holy Spirit. He's the one that expresses Jesus and the Father. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot know God. It's impossible. I don't care how much you know of this Bible. You will not know Him. Because only through the Holy Spirit can you know God. And that's a part of your covenant, because the Holy Spirit is the covenant keeper. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. That's why it's the ministry of the Spirit, isn't it? Go to Titus chapter 3. Hallelujah. Titus 3. Revelation of the New Covenant. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1, would you read it with me? Now Paul writes to Titus, one of his faithful servants, and he says, remind them to be what? Subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, boneheads, out of control, disobedient, rebellious, deceived, hello, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Oh, hallelujah. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration. The washing of regeneration. The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs or parts of His covenant. according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm, fix, be a part of, make sure it's imparted, nail it to, affirm it. I want you to affirm this constantly. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Now the word works here means character and ethics. It means character and ethics. Should be careful to maintain good character and ethics. These things are good and profitable to men. Does everybody understand that? Now, this happens, this regeneration, this place of new birth, this place of new generation by the Holy Spirit, this place of where God is placing us is being brought through the regeneration, through renewing of the Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand? He's bringing you from glory to glory. One of the areas is we begin to stay in this presence and stay in this fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He begins to reveal more and more to me and you about us being covenant children. And the revelation that when you come to that revelation, and this is what this new generation is about, they are going to walk in the covenant of God. They're going to walk in it. They're going to know that they are covenant no matter what happens. They are covenant-keeping children. Is everybody all right? This is going to be a great regeneration that's happening right now. It's been brought forth. In other words, we were born again, but things are going to increase even more, more, and more. Why? Because God is bringing us into His likeness and image. Amen. With these ethnics, characteristic of who He is. Hallelujah. Of course, it's done by the Holy Spirit. Now again, I want to reiterate that works means character and ethics. Character and ethics. And that we are His heirs. And that we are to maintain this good character and ethic because of the new covenant. Turn to, let's go back a couple chapters here. Go to chapter 1 in Titus. And in verse 15. Would you read it with me? Titus chapter 1 and 15. To the pure all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works, or what is the word? What's the word works mean? Character and what? Ethics. They deny Him. Being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Wow. In other words, in their ethics and character, they deny Him by their actions and desires. Go to James 1. James chapter 1. Cool. Let's start at verse 12. Blessed is the man, hallelujah, who what? Endures temptation. So cursed is the man who doesn't. For when he has been approved, he's been what? Approved. He will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised by what? Covenant. To those who what? Love Him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and entice, or his own will or desires. You know, so much of our desire, in other words, everybody has a desire to do the will of God. Amen? When you're born again, you have a desire to do the will of God. Now, what his plan and purpose for you is, now you, in other words, I have the desire to save the world. So do you. Now, the thing is that we may have desires to do this, do that, do whatever, but not of them, all of them are for you. They may be of God, but they're not for you. Does everybody understand that? And too many people are going off track because they think they're deceived by their desires. Amen? And certain desires, even though it may sound good, but it's not of God for you, even though it may be of God for somebody else, is actually brought forth to tempt someone to go off course. See, the devil doesn't just entice you to fall into fornication or whatever. He'll entice you to walk out of God's perfect will. Do you understand that? So that then you go into the good or acceptable. And it's our desire to walk in God's perfect will. Things move better in the body of Christ. Many people who've started off desiring to be walking God's perfect will have satisfied with His good will or His accepted will. And eventually, because they couldn't fulfill that, they've gone out of His will completely. Does everybody understand that? But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren, for every good gift and every perfect gift is above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. Of whose will? His own. Do you understand that it was his will, not your will? It was his will that he chose to rescue me and you. It was his will, not our will. It was nothing that you and I have done. That's all we did was agree. Okay. In other words, his will was hanging there the whole time. It was like a rope saying, God's will, and you chose to grab it, and he pulled you up. Hanging there the whole time. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of what? First fruits of his creatures or his character. Under this new covenant. Do you understand that under this new covenant, you have the ability to walk, to be in the character of God Almighty? Under this new covenant, this whole Bible is nothing but a book of promises. It's a promise under the covenant. You are covenant. But covenant comes forth by obedience, not by disobedience. Amen? God does not reward disobedience. Now we go back to that enticement or desires. That may be the will of God, but not a will of God for you. Would it hinder your covenant? You bet you. Do you understand that? Covenant is manifested by obedience, not disobedience. It's rewarded. In other words, if you go to your landlord and you sign a contract and he says, okay, you pay the rent every month, you can stay here. You don't pay the rent, you got to go. Well, you're under covenant, aren't you? Same thing with car payments and everything else. People lose stuff because they break covenant vows. People have brought themselves in bondages by wrong vows, haven't they? Yeah. Amen. And opened doors of demonic activity. Many of us made vows in drug organizations, made vows under gangs, fraternities, and all kinds of other stuff. Ever since we've been children. Yeah. And we've never taken that opportunity to break those vows. Those hinder the promises of the covenant of God coming forth because you're to be a new creation in Christ, new character and everything else. But the thing is He's given us a sword to sever all these things from our past so that we can receive our inheritance as underneath the new covenant. Does everybody understand that? Praise God. You know, I was with a person today that the things that I was sharing right now, I had to share with her. So that there be more understanding. You know, I don't care what gift God uses you. I don't care what's going on in your life, what your talent or what gift or whatever. God does not reward by gift or talent. He rewards by character. Does everybody understand that? It doesn't matter your abilities. It matters of your obedience. He rewards by His character manifesting in us. Nothing else. Does everybody understand it? It's so important that we get this, because that's what keeps us covenant children. Why? His covenant, his promises, so that everything is ours. But it can't be ours if we're not walking as his character or his ethics. It doesn't work that way. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Remember, it was his choice and his will. Amen? That we might become the first fruits of his regenerated generation. That we may become the first fruits of this new regenerated generation. Covenant keepers and understanders of his covenant. See, because there's a difference in place when you understand the covenant of God that you walk in. Jesus knew the covenant. That's why he could walk in boldness. Sometimes people misinterpret authority with pride. When you know who you are in covenant, the world looks at it as pride or self-righteousness. Amen. They think it's prideful. But see, we're not of this world. We walk in covenant because our covenant is eternal. Amen? There's a difference. And we must have this revelation of this new covenant. Go to John 1. John chapter 1. Oh, to God be the glory. Whew. Hallelujah. Thank you, Master. John 1. In verse 12, would you read it with me? John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, and to those who believe in his name. Now, if you have a right to become a child of God, you are an heir and covenant child. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but what? Oh, but you are born of the will of God. Do you understand that you're in this room because it was the will of God to regenerate you, amen, by the Holy Spirit, to become a brand new creature, not of this world, but of an eternal arena, to walk in this world underneath an eternal covenant. Wow. That's why Paul said that I may position me, in other words, position me towards no longer I that live, but you that live. So that we may have that understanding of this covenant. Because we were born not of man's will, but of God's will, brought forth by his will as a child with a covenant. Go to Ephesians 1. Now I'm really not getting into covenant. What the Holy Spirit is trying to bring is the revelation of covenant. Does everybody understand that? Whew, is it warm in here or what? Glory to God. I need to can some of this stuff. Praise God. I'm telling you, my legs are sweating. Praise be to God. Got a hot flash, hallelujah. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 1. Now I know my wife goes through. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 3. Glory to God, but I'd rather have the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want the presence of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And verse 3. Hey, you're all going to get there someday. God willing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Wow. Just think, you've been blessed with every, look at it, didn't limit it. It said every spiritual, everything that God has created that's on the other side of blessing is yours. And the revelation of this new covenant is going to bring us into the place that we know it's all ours. Not because it's ours, because the same verse that Jesus said, if they persecute you, they reject me. Because you're going to walk in the character and the like-mindedness and the ethics that you know that you are his son, his daughter. You're going to walk in this arena that you know that you know. Let me tell you, when I first had my encounter with the Lord, for weeks and months, it was glorious. I felt like Moses when the veil finally, you know, it started lifting off. Man, I didn't want that presence to go. But I knew that it wasn't my choice, it was God's choice. But in that period of time, such boldness. In other words, when I used to walk around and hug people. I didn't care how old they were. It said, my child, because I felt like the Father in me. I walked into places and I could sense the boldness of, I mean, I would, before I walked, I would get 10 feet from a door and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit would come upon me to let me know what I'm supposed to do in there. I would be driving down the road and the Holy Spirit would come right through the roof and sit right next to me and say, listen, this is what we need to do. I'm telling you, there's going to be such a oneness and likeness and ethic and character where you aren't going to have to ask anything because you're going to know what to do. Does everybody understand that? Why? And the boldness is what keeps you. The boldness is what allows you and the authority because you're a covenant child. Nothing of this world but eternal. Knowing that this world has nothing on you. Knowing that the natural realm has nothing on you. And you have everything on them. Glory. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. In what? In the anointing. That's how you have access to everything. And so if you don't know the Holy Spirit, you don't know God. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, you don't know your covenant. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, you don't know the Word. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, you don't know who you are. Do you understand? It was times when the Holy Spirit, I had such revelation that the Holy Spirit was my mentor, that He was my teacher. It was like He'd come and take me by the hand. Even to the throne room of God, it was like He'd come and take me by the hand. Let's go see the Father. And in prayer, we'd go together to the throne room of God. Do you understand? That's the Holy Spirit. I used to stick my hand out and say, take me. Show me. Even on some of the Friday night services, sometimes I'll stick my hand out and say, take me where you want to go. Sometimes I'll sense somebody really big come up next to me, and I'm not sure who it is. Sometimes I don't want to look. But I know His presence. I don't need to see. It's just solely something different. You know, and I'll just say, what? What do you want to do? Oh. Verse 4. Read it with me. Just as He, what? Chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. Now listen, this is powerful. Having what? Predestined us. In other words, He's already ordained it. Predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of it. It's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. To the praise and the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in the Beloved. Predestined, ordained for such a time as this. Amen. You and I have been adopted, chosen, accepted with a purpose, an inheritance, a promise and covenant from the eternal Creator. From the eternal Creator. Come on now, think about it. From the eternal Creator, He's actually given me and you a covenant. Wow. The Creator of all things. And we are like little ants, you know, that have a connection with the creation of the universe. You have a covenant with Him. Oh, we've got to get the revelation. We've got to be a part of this new generation. Say, I'm going to get the revelation so I can be a part of the new generation. He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit that is the covenant keeper so that we can receive the spiritual blessings. And number one of them is knowing Him. It's a spiritual blessing in itself. This must become a reality, not fiction or hope. This must become a reality in your spirit and in your life that you are a covenant child. Does everybody understand that? Say, this must be a reality that I'm a covenant child. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Romans 8. Is everybody okay? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 8. Verse 16. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh. Oh, yes. Glory to God. And I was going to stop and, no way, we're going more. Would you read it with me? The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Do you understand that? That the Holy Spirit bears witness that you are a covenant. That you have a covenant with the eternal God, the eternal Creator. And if children, then what? Heirs. Ooh. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, or joint heirs with the anointing. If indeed we what? We suffer with Him. Oh. That we may also be glorified with Him. Now suffering means denying yourself. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Where? In us. Why? Because we are covenant. Does anybody understand this? Because we are covenant children. Covenant. We must get the revelation that we have a covenant with the eternal Creator. And we are blessed with every spiritual blessing, seated in heavenly places, a joint heir with the anointing, and it's brought forth in revelation by the Holy Spirit. That's why relationship and fellowship with the Holy Spirit is the only way to know God. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. All, even all God's creation is waiting for us to get this revelation. All of creation is waiting for the children of God to take dominion, because all creation is under bondage of the kingdom of darkness. And all creation, I'm talking about the plants, I'm talking about animals, I'm talking about the fishies, and I'm talking about the birdies. I'm talking about the clouds and everything else that's under God's creation, the stars, everything, the galaxies, everything is waiting for me and you to be revealed, because it's under bondage. Has everybody got it? Oh, to God be the glory. Listen, heavenly, spiritual and heavenly places is not limited to this, just be, this atmosphere. It's universal. We are blessed in all of the universe. Does everybody understand this? Now, we may not understand the purpose of it all yet, but you just must get the revelation that you have a covenant with the eternal Creator of all things, past, present, and future. If He says it, it is. It's all that's to it. joint heirs, inheritance by covenant, through obedience. We are joint heirs with an inheritance of a covenant through obedience. Has everybody got it? Through what?
Obedience.
Go to Malachi 3. Glory to God. Malachi 3 and verse 1. Everybody there? You there now? Hallelujah. Would you read it with me? Verse 1. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Everybody ready? Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant. Everybody say, I'm a messenger?
I'm a messenger.
Of the covenant.
Of the covenant.
In whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Everybody say it again. I'm a messenger?
I'm a messenger.
Of the covenant.
Of the covenant.
Because I am the forerunner?
Of his return.
Oh, hallelujah. We are messengers and carriers of the new covenant in character and ethics. God is shaping us up. 2 Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 7, would you read it with me, please? Verse 7. Hallelujah. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. Shubo rubo goso bokosi. Would you read it with me? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Keep going. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Say, I'm a minister
of the new covenant.
I am a messenger
of the new covenant.
I am a forerunner
of his return.
Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Not of the letter, but of the what?
Spirit.
Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the covenant keeper, isn't he?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit, without relationship with the Holy Spirit, you cannot know God.
Amen.
For the letter kills and the Spirit what? The letter kills and the Spirit brings life. Ministers of the new covenant and keepers by obedience, trusting in him, we are the living, walking, written covenant by the word of promise. Do you understand that? You and I are the living, walking, written covenant by the word of promise. Why? Because it says that I will put my law or my word in you. You are now the walking, living covenant of God Almighty. Do you understand that? Listen. When the Ark of the Covenant was put in the Holy of Holies. That was the temple, wasn't it? And in the ark was the word, the tablets, right? The manna, the rod. Amen? So, it was led by fire by night and cloud by day. When God came and sent his disciples to the upper room, what happened to them? The tongues of fire came over them. They now became the temple of God with the living covenant. Do you understand that? You and I are the living covenant, the written living covenant of promise. We are the messengers and the carriers of the covenant of God. Why? Because the covenant is the promise written within us. You know all things pertaining to God already. Who? I'll go to chapter 4. In verse 7. Would you read it with me? But we have this what?
Treasure.
We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What's this treasure? It's the Holy Spirit. It's God Almighty. It's the covenant. Do you understand it? It's the living, written covenant. You have this treasure that the world needs. What do they need? They need to have a covenant with the eternal Creator, don't they? That the excellence and the power may be of God and not of what? Oh, hallelujah. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despaired. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ also may be what? Manifested in our body according to ethics and character. See, if you are really in that place, and this is where he's bringing us to, is this new generation and desiring a revelation of covenant. If you think about everywhere the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant went, there was blessing. That's the only way you can have every spiritual blessing. Amen? Amen? So, even when David got in presence of the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, he sensed the presence of God. Then what is the difference between you and the Ark of the Covenant? Nothing. Nothing. As a man thinketh, so he is. This is where the enemy begins to drain us. He begins to bring confusion. He begins to cause us to rely on our power, not the power that's of him. Amen? He does not want you to know who you are. He does not want you to know your covenant promise. He doesn't want you to know, but I'm telling you, it's essential for us to walk in this new generation of regenerating of the Holy Spirit by getting the revelation of the covenant you have with the eternal Creator. Listen, you didn't do it with Him, He did it with you. Does everybody understand that? I mean, it's like, it's greater than winning a lottery, I'll tell you that.
Hallelujah.
It's an eternal covenant. God Almighty, the Creator of all things, came and brought me and you a covenant. Psalm 23. Oh, Lord, help us get this understanding. We must have the revelation of the new covenant. For the Spirit gives life and the letter kills. Praise be to my daddy. Psalm 23. Okay. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Whoa, glory! Read that again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Say it again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Wow. Do you understand? When you get the revelation of covenant, you are not in want because you already have it. That's why I like to wait. Because I already have it.
Amen.
Come on, do you get it? I mean, you know, I just sense the Holy Spirit go. When you have the revelation of covenant, you have no want because you already have it. That's all you got to discern is what is His desire, not yours. A want and a desire are two different things. Hello? A want and a desire are two different things. A desire is a hope for. Has everybody got it? A want is a present. One is for future and one is for now. If you understand the revelation of covenant, you won't have to want because you already have. Has everybody got it? Now look at this. Verse 2. He says, He makes me lie down in green pasture. He what? Makes me. You know why? He's trying to cause us to get the revelation of covenant. He's trying to cause us that His statutes, it says, and my statutes that are in you, and my word that is in you, and my covenant that is in you, I'm going to cause you to walk in those things. It says that He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Right? He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. I want you to understand something. It says, He makes me, He leads me, He restores me, He leads me for His name. He, not I. When you understand covenant with your Father, the eternal God, there is no longer I, there is He. It's different. Because you're not in want, you already have. And as you wait, you know it will be brought. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's for us. Do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Do I walk through all of this garbage? I will fear no evil. I won't fear the voice of the stranger. I won't fear this. I'm not going to allow anything to get me out of place because I am a covenant child. I have dominion all over everything. The water, land, air, and sea. I have dominion. All those things. The Bible tells us that the wicked one cannot touch me. Only if I let him. Now listen. For you are with me. Why? Because His covenant says He's with me. This is powerful right here. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know what the rod and staff are? Correction and chastening. That's how you know He's with you. By correction and chastening. The Bible says He chastens those He what? Loves. But too many people get offended when they get chastened. You know why? Because they have no revelation of covenant with the eternal God. Oh, this new generation is going to walk in the revelation of the eternal covenant we have with the eternal God. So we will walk with not a want because we already have. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Why? Because we sit at the Lord's table. We are seated with Christ. Do you understand that? He says He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. You anoint my head with oil. It's the anointing, isn't it? My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. All the days of my life I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. the Lord's table. I shall not want. We must have the reality of a covenant child, that our God supplies all of our needs according to His riches and His glory, because of the covenant, not because of anything that you and I have done or our ability or anything else, because of what Jesus did on the cross. Has brought that blood covenant for me and you. We already have it. Obedience will cause it. I'm sharing with you, obedience will cause it to fall into place. Obedience will cause it to fall into place. Everybody got it? Go to Luke 12. Oh, praise God. Is it warm in here again? Hallelujah. Luke 12. Thank you. Falls right into place. Thank you, Daddy. Luke 12 and 41. And Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household and give him their portion of food in due season? Why would he do that? Because there's covenant. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself, everyone say prepare himself, or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be what? Wow. Have you been given much? The much is required. From him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Stewards of the covenant. Much given, much is required. We are stewards of the covenant. Go to Matthew 25. Hallelujah. Thank you. Matthew 25. For much is given what? Much is required. So you and I are not only messengers of the covenant, carriers of the covenant, but we are stewards of the covenant. For the kingdom of heaven, in verse 14, is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. He gave them something. And one he gave 5 talents. Talents is money. And to another 2, and to another 1, and to each according to his own ability. In other words, God gave money to these individuals. He already supplied them the things. Do you understand? These are things from the spirit, not things from the natural. This is a spiritual book, not a carnal book. Does everybody understand that? It is, everyone say, this is a spiritual book, not a carnal book. The parables that are given to us, come on, are to be parallels with the things of the Spirit, so the vision can come and understanding can be manifest. So they were given these talents. They were given money. They were a talent is a weight. And he who had 5 talents went and traded them in and made another 5 talents. Revelations, things that God has given you. You did not hide anywhere, did you? But you brought it into your spirit as ethics and characters and characteristic of God Almighty. Does everybody understand it? It's not about a natural thing. It's about a spiritual thing. So the abilities that God has given you and I already, and what has been measured to us, are the things from His throne room that has been imparted in us by the Holy Spirit. Has everybody got it? That's why the Word says, whatever you have, whatever God has given you revelation from, minister in that. Amen? Minister in that. And of course, there was one that had five talents, one that had, or two talents, gave five talents, and the other received, and likewise he had received two, gained two more in verse 18. But he who had received one went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. He said money. So the talents here are weights of money, aren't they? Something that God has given us. It's not about ability. In other words, He already gave him the revelation knowledge to know what to do with what He's given him. Amen? So He gives you revelation. His character is already in us. We are already a covenant-keeping children, aren't we? Amen? So we have this covenant with the eternal God Almighty. He's given us something. We are carriers and messengers and stewards of the covenant. It's about an eternal arena while we live in this earthly realm, not an earthly arena. So everybody got it. It's important. And now after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And so he who had received the five talents brought it and so forth, and saying, Lord, you delivered me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them. And his Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. Faithful what? Over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. And of course, the other one that came, he said he had received two talents, the same thing, and he did the same thing. He said, you are faithful. Then he who received the one talent came and said, listen, the reward, God does not reward by ability. He rewards by character. Does everybody get it? He rewards by, everybody say, God does not reward me by my ability. He rewards me by my character. Why? Because it's His character, isn't it? Amen. And he who had received two talents and so forth, and one that received one, his Lord said to him, then he who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. In other words, that man was lazy to do the right thing. It had nothing to do with what was given. He was lazy to walk in the ethics of God Almighty. He was lazy to walk in the character of God Almighty. Does everybody understand that? I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. And I was what? Afraid. Afraid. I was what? Afraid. So fear prevented this individual, regardless of whether he had 20 talents or 30 talents or anything. God already gave him the ability to be a witness. God already gave him the ability to be a steward. God already gave him the ability to carry His covenant. He was afraid. He was afraid and went and hid the talent in the ground. Look, there you still have it. Here it is. I'm returning back what you gave me. There was no increase, was there? There was no growth. Does everybody understand that? There was no growth. He said, why, you lazy thing? So he said, but in verse 26, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. He was talking about money, something God gave him. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Always growth. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servants in the outer courts, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Talents is a weight of money. Spiritual revelations is what he's talking about. God doesn't reward by ability, but by character. They were all given ability already. They knew. Why? Because it was in their spirit of knowing what to do, what God had given them. Applying revelations to your life by allowing Christ's character to be formed in me and you. Does everybody understand that? We are to apply the revelations that God has given us to our life, that Christ's character can be formed in us. That's what he was talking about. He's talking about these talents of revelations from God's, not abilities. These things that God has given us to apply them in our life, that Christ's character and ethics can be manifested through us. Is everybody with me? Praise God. Go to Ephesians 3 and we'll close here. Everybody say,
The Lord
is my shepherd. I shall not want. Because I already have. In verse 14. Ephesians 3 and verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be what? Strengthened with might through his Spirit and your inner man. That you may be strong, that you may be strengthened. Why? Because as your spirit gets strong, there's more communion. Because your spirit communes with the spirit world, doesn't it? Amen? Your spirit communes with the spirit world. Your flesh and your soul interprets, and your flesh does the works. Amen. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, not in want, may be able to what? Comprehend or understand with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Of who? Of Christ. Of him. That we may understand the width, length, and height of who he is and who we are in him. By covenant. By covenant. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. The love of Christ passes knowledge. Come on, the love of Christ passes knowledge. His love passes all knowledge. It's not about what you know. Amen? It's about who you know. This is where we must be rooted in his love. See, when you're rooted in his love, you understand why he gave us covenant. Knowing to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Say, I want to be filled with all the fullness of God. That means his character and ethics. Now to him who's able to do it exceedingly abundantly above all that we all ask or think. So he can do more than what you can even think. According to the power that works where? In us, and to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. To what? All generations forever and ever. Amen. Revelation of new covenant. We are stewards of his covenant, messengers of his covenant, carriers of his covenant, and manifestation of his covenant. We are the walking witness of his covenant. In you is everything. You already know all things, and all things have been granted to you. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not want, because I already have it according to his covenant. And the revelation of his covenant must be imparted so that we can become a part of this new generation, regenerated by the washing and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you have no relationship with God. Amen. He is the covenant keeper. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed, my King. We are honored and blessed. We commit all things to you. We cast all cares. We cast all desires. We cast all wants. Knowing that we have an eternal covenant with you. And you are he who does all things according to your riches and glory, because it is your pleasure to give us the kingdom, knowing that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing and seated in heavenly places, joint heirs of Christ and eternally bound, that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.